Welcome to Good Life. I'm Dean Wilson. So glad you're with us wherever you are. If you're joining us here in the Santa Barbara, California area at TVSB, we welcome you. And so many of you are joining us around the world on all these other platforms, including our YouTube channel and goodlifetelevision.org. And then there's also a podcast, so you can search Good Life Conversations on any podcast platform. And we see that a lot of you are. And so we're grateful that you're joining us there. As always, we're presented by Bunn and Chevrolet. We're grateful for Leo and our friends, and we're grateful to be with you. We're talking about the good stuff, talking with some great people, and we've had people of all walks of life over these last 4 years since we've been taping, and we launched during COVID in terms of being on the airwaves, and it's been such an amazing journey here the last few years, and we're grateful that you are here with us to be part of it. I'm really excited about my guest. What a great story. Heard so many good things and read a lot about this gentleman. James Dixon is with me. Welcome, James.
Well, Dean, thank you for having me. I feel like family already because everybody talks so positively about Dean.
Oh, that's nice to hear. Well, thank you. I love people who are having an impact or making a difference, and you are certainly one of them, and we're going to get into kind of what's happened here and what you're doing, which is amazing, and I've been watching it, and it's pretty so impactful. But can you take us back, James, just to your early life and kind of what happened medically and kind of the challenges that you faced kind of early on?
Let me take you back to the first surgery I had as a kid. I was just 3 months of age. My family couldn't figure out what it was that was wrong with me. They assumed that it was just a broken leg and they did a stent. Then they realized it wasn't that at birth and started having surgeries every 6 months until I was 11. So now I'm at my 34th surgery. And on right before my 34th is when they discovered what I actually suffered from. Everything had been experimental. It just weren't that. My family wasn't very proactive in trying to find out what's wrong because it was the first. I'm the first disabled child in our family. And so it just so happened that a neighbor was a Shriner and said, "Ma'am, I see you have this boy that's sitting there on the porch. What's wrong with him?" And she said, "Well," then that day they would use the term crippled as a commonality, just a common word. In fact, the Shriners Hospital for Crippled Children was the name of the hospital. Today, we don't use that vernacular. But he said, "What's wrong with the crippled child?" And they said, "Well, he can't walk. I had never taken a step in my life on my own, and I was 11 years of age." And he said, "I believe that we can take care of all of his medical expenses free if you'll let us work with him." And the Shriners took me and my family in. And I discovered I had poor blood circulation, and as a result of it, scar tissue. My right side was dying, and the only thing they could do was amputate my leg so I could then get back to living life.
Wow. So how old were you when they did the amputation, 11?
I was 11 when they did it, and I didn't know they were going to do it. I woke up, and my leg was just gone. So it was traumatic for me in that regard, but it had turned out to be the best thing that ever happened.
Wow. So then when was it that you were beginning to use the prosthetic or however they figured?
Right, the prosthesis, yeah. So, I feel like I'd be doing you a disservice, Dean, if I didn't tell you this. The nurse that was taking care of me said, "James, you're going to be able to do things like every other child." And I believed her. As she's telling me this and building my confidence, I was really struggling because I had been in a room with two other children, one named Matt, one named Gilbert. Matt passed away at 8 in the room, and Gilbert was paralyzed from the neck down, and I watched his family sign over their parental rights and abandon him. So I was afraid of what might happen to me. So when my mom did show up, there was a relief. But the nurse was telling me, "You're going to be able to run, you'll jump, you'll play basketball." And I was so excited. And my mom walked in, and based off of my life resume, I'd never done these things before. she felt the nurse was giving me false hope. And so my mom said, please don't give my son those lies. She looked at me and said, son, you're a cripple. That's all you are. You'll never be able to do those things. I look back at the nurse. My mom grabs my face and slaps me and said, I'm your mother. You listen to me. You understand that you are a cripple. I paused for a moment, and then I broke down in tears, and I admitted to her. I said, yes, I'm a cripple. And if it hadn't been for my grandmother coming and restoring my confidence, I never would have been able to start the rehab or start walking. What should have been just weeks, 2 months after the amputation, start walking on the prosthetic, took me more than a year almost. I was just about to turn 12 when I finally had the confidence to try, because I couldn't work out that you're a cripple out of my head.
Wow. So tell us about your grandmother.
Wow. My grandmother is the one who nicknamed me Superman. So I wear this symbol, and not for the cartoon, but for the idea that I'm supposed to live my life and be a symbol of hope. She was that for me. You see, she believed in me and spoke for me until I could believe in myself. She couldn't read or write, but she instilled everything that she could be into me. Everything that I've accomplished, the best-selling author, all that stuff, she told me all these things were possible for me. And so her passing was difficult for me, but I honor her every day by the way I serve other people. And so my commitment is to let her name live on by what I do for other people.
Oh, that is, wow. That's amazing. You know, I think about this. So we have a special needs daughter. And so we've been on a journey with her for 21 years, and we're still just working hard and trying to help her have the best life she can. And it's so true. I remember when we were back at this institute that treats special needs kids, and one of the speakers, I'll never forget this, 20 years ago or so, said, there's no such thing as false hope. There is such a thing as false despair. And I think as we look at the world and how people think, it's amazing how if you have a vision, or if you have if you think, well, I'm a cripple, that's it, that's my lot in life, then it kind of turns out that you're going to be one. You know,
yeah, it becomes self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right. It's amazing. Isn't that amazing? Kind of the tapes we play. Who I think I am is critically important in terms of realizing a dream or moving past an obstacle or overcoming. I mean, wouldn't you say? You're the motivational speaker. I'm not trying to you tell me, but this is going to be my experience.
You know, for me, I grew up with the idea of why, God? Why did I have to be the cripple? I had a really struggled. I couldn't get off the porch. I couldn't do the things everyone else had done. I was treated to be so I felt like I was on the outside watching everyone else live. And because of the constant work that was being done, the constant things that I was trying to become and do, I was wanting their acceptance and validation. And I look back at it and I was like, God, why me? Why did I have to be this way? No one else has this. Why can't I do things? And now I look back at my life and I realize that my tragedy was my triumph.
Yes.
I was given a great card, not a bad deck. I was given a skill set that I wouldn't have been able to mature or develop without a test. Now I have a testimony. And when we say like motivation, I struggle with that title only in this. I really don't have words that I come up with. I don't have catchphrases or a certain speech. All I do have is this. I owe a great debt to a number of people who invested in me. And I owe it to them that I want to leave this life empty. I'm not limited because of my race. I'm not limited because of the economics that were around me, or if my father wasn't there, all of those things. Yes, man, I had some setbacks, but that is also a setup for you to step into a purpose and do something different. And Without it, would I have been become this passionate? Look, as you as a father, that 21 year journey that you've been on, it has taught you so much more than anyone could ever tell.
That's right.
That comes out of you, out of that, when you think about your daughter and the investment and the fact that you could have, there was no way you were going to give her up for adoption or abandon that responsibility. And for that, being that's why you make such an impact on the world yourself.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I think about your grandma, that really is going to leave a lasting impression with me, because I, as I think, James, about the opportunity we have walking around, and you're doing this, I mean, you're in Chicago right now, about to go, speak. I mean, you're having opportunities to get in front of people and with YouTube and a worldwide audience, like 120 million views or something crazy, but you have this opportunity. And I think about the opportunities we have with people that are all around us, everyday situations. You don't know the impact that some comment or some encouragement could make on somebody. You know, speaking life, speaking hope, you've got what it takes. You can, and not fluff or flattery, but act truth, right. Truth.
Absolutely.
Isn't that amazing? Because I mean, we need a million of your grandmothers is really what we need.
That's right.
how do we do that? But talk about that, and talk about, James, in the context of what you're doing now and how you're spending your time, about what you're sharing with people and obviously you have a testimony, but what is it that excites you about your message?
You know, I'm going to share something with you that is heavy on my heart. I went to speak in Orem, Utah at an event. It was called The Vibrant with Kelly Cardenas. I was invited there along with Greg Reed and some other people that we had there. And I share my story. And there's a lady in the audience that hears me, and we become friends. I had spoken to her and her husband. It just so happened their son was contemplating taking his life. And they reached out to me weeks later and said, James, I know this is shot in the dark, but do you have a moment you can talk to our son? And so I got on the phone with them, and I began this way. I said, do me a favor. Try to hold your breath for as long as you can, and I'll wait until it happens. He held his breath, and then all of a sudden, and I said, you realize what just happened there? I was like, no. I said, you fought for breath. You fought for life. Even if you wanted to, you couldn't stop it. You're not ready to go. I need you to make a promise to me that you will keep living until we get a chance to at least meet. And I will come to you. I promise you. But give me a week. Will you do that for me? And he said, yes. And so make him make a commitment to a futuristic date was to prolong him, because I've had many people take their lives that I've met on this journey. And so when you ask me about my impact, influence, or things of that nature, so this is what happened to me. I couldn't sleep two nights ago. And I don't know why, but I kept thinking about this kid. And I was scheduled to go see him on the 28th of this month. But for some reason, this kid just is on my mind. And I don't have his number, but I got up that morning and I booked the flight to come see this kid. And so I wrote his parents and was like, hey, I'm coming in to see him. And they were like, did they tell you? I said, tell me what? They were like, he was trying to take his life again last night. The very moment that I was being troubled about this kid with no one telling me about him, even though it was five more days I was coming, I made a commitment, I was going to be there. And it just so happened, Tony Child said, hey, would you come speak? And I said, I'll move it up. I need to see this kid though. And so when I land, I'm going to sit down with this kid. He's the reason I'm coming. So when you say it, you have all these opportunities, but that kid, when I'm done with their memory, it is my heart's desire to see him choose to choose life. And I need each and every one of you guys to please say a prayer for me so that I can be effective, because I realize that I'm one man, but together, man, we can make a huge impact. So I'm not a speaker, man. I'm investing part of myself, and I'm going to leave. I'm going to empty everything I got in me to see this kid choose life and then see him find his purpose. That's what I'm called to do. That's what my grandmother left in me.
Oh, that is beautiful. Wow. Yeah, it is. I mean, what you just described kind of reminds me that, you know, it's about the one. You know, we have a mental health crisis going on in the country.
Yes,
we have an opioid fentanyl crisis kind of.
That's
we
right.
have a you know and then and the and it was happening, you know, and then the pandemic happened, and it was like on, you know, kind of the on steroids in terms of what's
That's
happening.
Right.
So, and we can get overwhelmed. We can get overwhelmed by, you know, huge problems like that, and kind of just say, well, what can I do? I mean, there's nothing. But really, what you can do is the one. And who is it that kind of is brought to your circle center, you know, your circle of influence, I guess. And so when you, in your case, I mean, you know, you meet this family and it's this one, and all, and I'm going to believe with you that there could be a life saved there. And then, you know, and just for people that are watching, you know, to think about who's the one, who's the child of one of your friends that is,
right.
You know, if we all thought that way, I mean, the world would change. I mean, that's a powerful thing where you talk about, you know, growing impact and exponential opportunities. But we all have circles, and we all probably know that one kid. I mean, don't you think?
Listen, if it hadn't been for one, right? If you don't start, right? You'll never have day one for someone. It can be day one of them starting a new purpose and all that, but it takes one person investing back in them, because most people, think about this with young men. Mom gives you hug, gives you loves, gives you attention when you're young. But then they say you get too old to be asking for hugs and all that. So where does the young man find affirmation, affection as he's growing and developing? And people made it like it was too macho to stop and tell someone, I love you, I care about you, you matter to me. And so we've got to go back to that again, where you tell someone you matter. See, Dane, you come on here and you touch with lives. You intertwine your lives with so many people that can touch so many more people. The circle of our influence is so much bigger than the audience that's watching us, because those people have a history of influence.
That's right. That's
we
right.
Can touch so many people, you know? And
that's
so
exactly,
man,
right.
It's we start with that one. And that kid's testimony, that girl's testimony can change everything, because they can be the spark plug to somebody else's will.
Yes. And then the power of the testimony, all of a sudden they have one. My life was saved, just like you're talking about your grandmother. You know, somebody's going to be talking about you. This guy, James Dixon, I don't know what the heck happened, but he decided to fly out and see me. I don't, you know, and paying attention, by the way, you know, you had that burden in your spirit the night before. That's clearly not coincidence or some, I mean, I think that's another thing, James, that paying attention to promptings. Sometimes when we can get in a quiet place and we can hear that quiet voice, you know, that says, you know, but oftentimes we're too busy, you know? So I think about this in my own life. I need to, you know, make sure that I get in the quiet place to be able to listen and go, okay, it's not just about the urgent, because, you know, we all have urgencies in our life to stuff to take care of. But there can be a tyranny of the urgent where we miss that still small voice. We miss that prompting or that leading that says, hey, fly to wherever and go see, you know, that's also a very inspiring thought.
Dean, you said something there, that small still voice. And I, you know, on my leg, I have one verse. It was the first verse given to me by my grandmother. It was, I can do all things.
Mm.
A crippled child to hear that you can do all things. I mean, it took limitations off me. My mindset was the biggest part of it. What I lacked in the physical doesn't mean I couldn't make up for it in a different way, you know? And as much as we think that you are, no one knows what you're going through, I promise you this, there's someone who's similar, someone who could be in whose life you can change by sharing your story. I look at you. I'm telling you, man, I love the way you interact with people. You always have these segments. Every video that I've watched with you in it, it's always authentic. And you bring out stuff in people. You almost have me crying over here. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can tell you, I'm honored that you and I get a chance to share space and to change lives together. Because that small, still voice is what brought us together. It says that you and I have a work to do. And it's not about us.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Love it. I love it. And I want to just mention, so James Dixon, D-I-X-O-N is his name. James E. Dixon, some places. And I would just encourage you to check out his, you know, he's got a lot of subscribers on YouTube. I would encourage you to be one of them. And he's also on Instagram. And I think this is going to be somebody that I think can really encourage. Yeah, there it is. There we go. Yeah, absolute motivation. There it is. So that's absolute motivation. And there's a keynote, there's speech, this absolute motivation. You can find everything. James Dixon, absolute motivation. You can find all of his content out there. This put me in the game coach, which is an amazing thing. And you know, this is going kind of a little bit viral for a reason. And sometimes, you know, a lot of stuff comes through, but I stopped on this one and I was like, okay, this is really something. And so I'd encourage you guys, everybody, please check it out. And James, will be an encouragement to you, and hopefully you can encourage somebody else. And, James, what an honor. This is, really inspiring. I'm so encouraged. So glad to meet you. So excited about what you're doing. So thank you.
Well, Dean, thank you for the honor to come on. I appreciate you even sharing those things. You know, if people would, if you know anyone that's been depressed, been discouraged, feel like there's no way that I can make it, I would encourage them to pick up a copy of the book. If they can't afford it, I'll give it to them. It's called Absolute Motivation, and all it is a story how I overcame all the limitations and how you can as well.
And James, is Amazon the best place to get
Amazon,
that?
Amazon. Absolutely. Okay. Amazon. Just came out 2 weeks ago. And
we're ordering copies of that today. I can tell you that. So put us down. We will be ordering copies today. So Absolute Motivation, James E. Dixon is the author. Absolute Motivation is the book on Amazon, and then you can find him on this YouTube platform. Especially, so make sure you subscribe and then check him out on Instagram. And we have a new friend here, James. I'm honored, brother. It's great to be friends. It's great to be in league with you, and I look forward to journeying together. See what we can do.
Come on, my friend.
God bless you. Thanks everyone for joining
Thank
us.
You,
we'll see you next time.